all of us are traveling on the path of tazkiyah. This majlis was also related to that, connected to that, which this path we call tasawwuf. And those who follow this path of tasawwuf are entitled as Sufis. This is a special line through which a person attains ikhlas, sincerity. And tasawwuf, I will explain the detail in a couple of words or a couple of phrases. We should understand that tasawwuf is such a path and a way. And if we compare it to an example with the sea, with the ocean, a wali of Allah, he praised and defined and explained tasawwuf. The whole meaning of tasawwuf a person can get from this definition. Otherwise people 10 years, 15 years, 20 years follow this path. They don't understand that what is our destination, which way are we going, what is it, what do we need to attain, what are we doing, we are doing dhikr, why am I doing all of this, what's all of this for? My brothers, just one statement, that's it. That this path of tasawwuf, it is the path to the pleasure of Allah. This is the way to the pleasure of Allah. This is our destination, to please Allah and no other objective. Dhikr is not the objective, it is not the maqsood, dhikr is the means to get to this objective. So we listen that this is the path to please Allah, to get to the pleasure of Allah. This is the way, the destination to the pleasure of Allah. So my brothers, that person who pleases Allah, listen to the phrase, to the statement. The person who pleases Allah, he does not commit sins. This is the tasawwuf. The person who pleases Allah, he does not commit sins. End of story. Straightforward tasawwuf. Straightforward. It is impossible that a person wants to please Allah and he commits sins. All life long he can try, all life long, but he will not please Allah. Remember this. Has it ever happened? That somebody, a wife, she wants to please her husband and she puts too much salt into the food. Will her husband be happy? Or if she puts too much spices into the food, will he be happy? Can it happen? Never can it happen. If she purposely does this, can it ever happen that the husband wants to please his wife and he stops giving her sustenance, or he sells off her jewelry and wastes her money and says, I want to please my wife? Can it ever happen? So how can it be that a man says, I want to please Allah, and he commits sins? How can this be? So this is the biggest nifaq and hypocrisy. He thinks, I'm a Sufi, I'm an alim, I do dhikr. But in reality, he's a munafiq. He's a hypocrite, a very big nifaq. He's lying. He's committing sins. And he says, I'm wearing the labas of Sufis. And he says that I'm pleasing Allah. Allah Ta'ala will not be happy through our dhikr or sujood, prostration or ibadah or worship. Allah Ta'ala is happy from one action. Do not displease me. Do not displease me. And how does Allah Ta'ala get displeased? Through a person carrying out sins. Person who implements sins can never please Allah. He is a liar. In the book of Allah, he is a liar, that person. If he's committing sins, then Allah will not be happy at that time or pleased at that. If this was the case, subhanallah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, that he used to be whipped on his bare back in the whole bazaar, in the marketplace, he used to be whipped. He said, no, the same masla, the masla, the answer I've given, this is correct. Because he was speaking from the Quran. He said, I will not displease Allah. I'm not going to go against Allah. And he was imprisoned, locked up. He went to jail. He said, but I cannot displease Allah. Yes, that, is this a small thing? He was an alim. He could have looked out for some solution, or you know, twisted some dalil or proofs, etc. No, he took the whipping. Hazrat Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, where did his janazah come from? From jail. He was in prison. He said, no, this cannot happen. The king of that time, He said, I cannot speak against Allah. Why? What fear did he have? That Allah, I don't want Allah Ta'ala to be unpleased, to be displeased with me. Imam Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani rahmatullah alayh, that he had to, he said he was ordered to bow your head down. And there were thousands of masail, and he was imprisoned for years in the jail. He said, this cannot happen, I cannot bow, lower my head, I have to please Allah. Cannot go against Allah. Hazrat Bayazid Bastami rahmatullahi, what a great sheikh. I'm talking about the walis of Allah who pleased Allah, but they never committed any sins. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Their life, you would never see them committing a sin. Those who pleased Allah, yes, one thing, the massive point you'll see is that they never displeased Allah. They would allow the dhulm to occur to themselves, but they would not do any action to displease Allah. Remember this. Bayazid Bastami, all night long he stood at the side of his mother, extremely cold. He had the glass of water. He said, my mother will wake up and I'll give her water. And this is how he became the wali of Allah. Not due to doing worship of Allah's hukam, that don't even say uff to your mother. And with this fear that I don't want my mother asked me for water, may this not be that her eyes open and I'm not there to give her water. He stood there all night long. He didn't move from that position. Allah Ta'ala became pleased. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Allah became pleased with him. Abu Hanifa, Allah became pleased with him. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, rahmatullah, Allah became happy with him. Look at these points. So all the pious elders, the walis of Allah, the sheikhs who've gone in the past, and that how much they must have had piety, how much fear of Allah. The person eats an apple, and that came from the river. Imagine. And there was no boundary of sharia. It's coming from far. He picked up the apple. He was very hungry, and he ate the apple. The apple hadn't even gone inside his stomach. And he stopped and thought, "Ooh, what's happening? No one's watching. I've committed a crime." Because he knew that Allah, where's Allah? Allah is watching. Oh, Darvish, remember this point I'm saying. If you want to be a friend of Allah, then we need this emotion and this feeling. And I'm speaking to myself. That this is not a deception. Shaitan deceives us. He takes us off the path. This is the character that we should have. The apple went in and he sat there on the bank of the rivers. He said, how did I consume this? Allah, what have I done? Can anyone think like this? Why? Because he had one fear that without the permission of the owner, how did I eat this apple? And Allah must be unhappy with me. So how will I make Allah happy now? Tell me. So he ran back up the course of the river. He went and he saw the orchard. From that orchard, that the tree, the apple fell off, and it came via the river. And we said, oh no, it's his money, we can eat it, what difference does it make? So he went to the Malik, and he said, I made a mistake, please forgive me. He said, tell me, what's your mistake? He said, the mistake I made. He said, what mistake would he have made? It's what? He said that there was an apple, it came with the flow of the river, and I was hungry, and I ate it, and it looks to me that this apple has fallen off the tree from your orchard. He said, forgive me. He said, oh, you committed this crime, okay, I will not forgive you. I will not forgive you. He said, please, for the sake of Allah. He said, no, I will not forgive you. This many years you'll have to work for me without, in my orchard. Subhanallah. Look at the history. What a great example of how to please Allah. That look at the difference between us and him. Today, Allah has given us ease that do what you want, just do dhikr, pray a bit of salah, do umrah, do 5-6 hajj, and I'll be happy with you. Who told you this? Is this no principle of the deen, of the Quran? What a massive deception today, now and nowadays. Tell me. Think about it. In every home, there are walis of Allah sitting down, waliyas of Allah. And they think, do this, I can do this, piety, action, I do worship, I give sadaqah, I do this many khatams, I do this and that. Every man gives dawah, claims he's pious. But show me a person with this character, say subhanallah. Yes, me and you, we are on this path, on this journey, my friends. Me and you, we are on this path, on this journey, alhamdulillah. For Allah Ta'ala's radha, we want to travel for Allah's radha. For his pleasure. So this, the real path of the tasawwuf that I'm describing and explaining, that with, don't be unhappy, because if we displease Allah, we'll never get Allah's pleasure. In darkness, you won't see light. With the bitterness, you can't get the sweet. Is this the case? So how can it be that we're displeasing Allah and we're trying to please Allah as well and we think Allah is happy with us? Impossible. That in a few moments, in a few moments, that we reach to kufr and nifaq, and we say, no, I'm very pious, and the clothes change, and the appearance change, and the topis come, and we say, oh, what's happened to this man? He's changed. What a big deception, Allahu Akbar. A massive deception. When the time comes, we just compromise for the sake of stomach, we'll do whatever we want. Everything goes. Lying, truth, honesty, mixed. Because it can happen that, for example, you've consumed the apple, so I'll make the decision. He said, this is the decision that this many years you'll have to serve me in my orchard. You'll have to work in my orchard. Will you do this? Otherwise go, I cannot forgive you. He said, okay, I accept your condition. I will work in your orchard, in your garden. You would have heard this story, but this enjoyment when you hear about the walis of Allah revise the subjects. There's nur and encouragement increases. Everyone knows this story. Who is it that doesn't know this story? So I think that in the world, look how a person becomes a wali of Allah, insan. He didn't put down the prayer mats. He didn't have tasbih in his hand. He didn't do hajj. Ask that person, how many hajj did he do? He said, I haven't even done any hajj. I'm a straightforward Muslim. But just one desire, that Allah becomes pleased with me. And Allah will be pleased at that time when I don't displease and make him unhappy. The whole of tasawwuf is summarized in this phrase. If you want to be a right person, if you want to please Allah, my friends, then take this fikr and inscribe it on your heart. Take this phrase and inscribe it on your heart. How can Allah not be happy though? Allah says, you call out to me every day. Every second I call out, who is there that wants to be near to me? SubhanAllah is calling us himself. SubhanAllah. He is calling us himself. Come, I'm waiting for you. Come to me so I can make you mine. Is there anyone out there at this moment? And at that time, we'll be committing crimes and we'll be preparing for Fajr at the same time. And we'll be committing crimes at the same time. So think about it. We need to look. No, I'm doing this action. I am forgiven. I'm doing this service. Nothing. Just one standard. Doesn't matter what you can carry on doing, what you are doing, or don't do anything. But are you displeasing your Mawla? Allah says, SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. That's the criteria. Every moment, one fikr, one worry. Is Allah unhappy with me? Right now? What I've done? The last day? The whole year? He said, Hazrat, give me ijazat. Please, it's been a while now. Please forgive me now. He said, no, not yet. He said, why not? He said, that I have a disabled daughter. You'll have to marry her. Then his eyes opened wide. Disabled. He said, she's blind from the eyes, and she's disabled from her hands, and she cannot walk. She's disabled. She can't speak, and she cannot listen. This is the condition that somebody doesn't marry her, you will have to marry her. Then he thought. He said, okay, Allah will be happy. So at least I'll be safe from Allah's displeasure. SubhanAllah. If ever we were to think like this, imagine the enjoyment if we become a Sufi like this. SubhanAllah. Every moment there's a test with a human being. Every moment that there's a test with a human being. He's in a challenge. Let us leave the dramas, leave the games and come to reality. Every man, whoever's out there, those who are about to die, that without pleasing Allah, the person who dies, what will be his hal? Tell me, what will be his conclusion? What will be his hal? Ulama ikram, respectful scholars sitting here, ulama muftiyan, tell me, what is the hal of that person in the Qur'an? That who is hellfire for? For those who displease Allah. For those who displease Allah. What is the adab of the qabr for? The punishment of the grave is for who? For those men and women who displease Allah and go to Allah after death. Tell me. Who will drop and fall off the bridge of Sirat? Those who displease Allah. There'll be no differentiation. Mu'min, Musulman, whatever. Whoever slips, whatever type of person there is, whoever displeases Allah. Why did you displease Allah? And those who have iman, they will be given more punishment. That you had Quran in your hands. Doesn't the Quran say that the Quran will grab us? That you were in my hand, I was in your hands. And the Jahannam will ask them, how did you come to hellfire? That how comes you have fallen to hellfire? The Jahannami people, the people of hellfire, the inhabitants say, how did you come to hellfire? You had the Quran. How did you come to this dirty place? So he'll say, okay. He said, he replied, okay, I will marry her, your daughter. So they got married. He said, go to your wife now. So what will be the hal of that individual? That one apple, where has it taken me? okay, I'm grateful to Allah. He's thinking, maybe I will help her, I'll pick her up, and I'll put her into some big container, and I'll serve her. I've got responsibilities, my wife. A wife isn't a game. When you marry someone, then you say a word to Allah Ta'ala. I will give her food, clothes, whatever, I'll be responsible, Allah Ta'ala. And I'll recite this Kamala, please give your daughter to me. We say, for the sake of Allah, an individual has given his daughter to you. How great is that father? Just for the sake of Allah, he gives. And he gives his daughter, his blood. And that man is promising to that man who's the father, who hasn't got married, listen carefully, that you have to just make this promise. The meaning of getting married is that this daughter of yours, I'm taking Allah for your name, for your sake. And I promise I will give her food and clothes to wear, and I'll protect her and shelter. All her rights I'll fulfill. I'm responsible. Tell me what a big responsibility of the wife upon the husband. So that human being who marries a woman and brings her home, then for pleasing Allah, that woman is enough for him. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. The woman is enough for him. If he does the right things, the right actions. Look at the challenges and tests Allah gives for his pleasure. Sometimes the form of woman or mother or sister or business or shop. All different factors of the deen, and they all have one meaning. They all have one meaning. That what do you have to do with all these factors? You have to please Allah. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. What madrasas, Quran, hadith, whatever there is in the dunya, the business, whatever type of business there is one question. That all of these paths, the meaning of these paths is one, that through these actions you have to please Allah. If you are standing in a certain position and you are doing an action and you are pleasing Allah, then that action, that part of your life becomes Jannah for you. It gives you the garden of paradise. Even if you've got four children, you're teaching some children under a tree, say Subhanallah. There's a tree, cold. I've seen people, there were people in our villages, they have madrasas like this. And they don't know where to go, where to get money from, etc. I'll show you. I passed by one place, alhamdulillah. I travel in Africa and I was amazed, surprised, that in the villages I'd go during the night, those days, I went for some days to Africa. Zimbabwe I went, this was my field, because there was nothing else I was there for. So I'd go in the corners of the, well, I wanted to give dhikr to people in different environments and scenes. I saw when I got to the village in the night time, those people were waiting. And I remember that old time of the Sahaba, there were women, men waiting for me, that Wali Allah is coming, a friend of Allah is coming, everyone's there. So I saw that what's going on, and what did I see? The shan, the glory of Allah, I tell you the type of people in the dunya, and the masjid, when I saw it, then tears came out of my eyes. Allahu Akbar, the moon was out in the night, and MashaAllah, the moonlight, and there were people there, men and women, looking, who is a person, who's a friend of Allah, where's he come from? There was not even a straw mat to sit on. Basics. And to study, after coming back, some nights I could not sleep. Yani, there was a piece of paper, part of the Quran. There were some kalamats of the Quran on that paper. That's all they had. They said that this is what we teach our children. Until today, we have not even seen the complete Quran printed. Allah, but they said, we don't even know. And so much iman, strong iman, that we cannot imagine. That dhikr, I gave so much dhikr, my finger, for 5 days I was massaging my finger. There was so much pain. There were so many people that teach us Allah's name, teach us Allah's name, teach us Allah's name. We want to learn it. But they didn't have a complete printed Quran. There was a torn page from the Quran. Don't know where they got that from. For miles I'd walk and I'd travel and I'd see. Until today I remember that night. Subhanallah, your makhluk, your creation, who you love, what they are like. Is Allah pleased with them? Or people like us, we have chicken 3 times a day, we burp and we sit down and speak nonsense and rubbish. Tell me, or will Allah be pleased with us? Yes, a few of our actions, we show off, I'm this and that, I've achieved this and that. Look at the sketch of the world, that what is the basis for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, my friends. I went in and their eyes opened, and so he went in after he married, and he saw light coming out of that room. When he went in, he ran back out. And he said, where are you running off to? He said, maybe I've gone into the wrong room. I'll get stuck. I don't want to get stuck. I've already done one action to these villas. And I can't even repay that debt. Where have you sent me? To which room? He said, this is that woman. This is my daughter. He said, you said she was blind. He said, she has never seen a ghayr mahram. Allahu Akbar. Waliyah. And many women want to become waliyahs. Yes, and they look through their niqabs and men. They know that who lives in this mahalla, in this environment, which boys and which men. Forget the amount of women, forget about those who don't have niqab. Those with niqab, they know more what's happening around them. They look around. They look at this. Never. He said, she's never seen a man. And then her tongue, from her tongue, never has she said something wrong apart from the dhikr of Allah. Her hands have never touched anything apart from the Quran, she knows. And her footsteps, she's never left the home. Her footsteps. Allahu Akbar. Such a woman and such a man, father, that for the sake of an apple that he gave a sacrifice, then who will be born? The offspring. As Abdul Qadir Jalani, rahmatullah alayh. Subhanallah, Ghawth al-Adam. Yes, if his parents are like this, if his mother and father is like this, then who will Ghawth al-Adam be? He was young. And his mother said, go study. Go and attain ilm, knowledge. And the mother said that this is the generation of thieves, bandits. He took a bit of money and she sewed it to his clothes. Said, this is some money you have to spend, but I give you a final nasiha, subhanallah, advice. What a great mother, and what a great son. She's giving nasiha to her son. Then take all of my nasiha, my advice, my son. He said, yes, mother, please tell me, what is it you want to tell me? She said, my son, don't displease Allah ever. Say, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Then she said one thing, that don't displease Allah. Allah Ta'ala is unhappy when a person lies. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Nothing else, she said. She said, don't displease Allah. Make this principle in your life and don't lie, because when you lie, Allah will become unhappy. Me and you, is there anything in our life with it which is without lying? Which is, well, the seed we sit on and do thick of, that will be full of lies. I tell you the truth, those clothes we wear and sit down with, they will also be full of, background will be lies. This is the generation we are seeking Allah in. Allah will be happy. There's no point, don't worry, Allah will be happy. Say subhanallah. If we have courage, then Allah will be happy with us. If we do the right thing. I'm not making you depressed. I'm trying to encourage you and lift you up. Listen to me carefully. It's not difficult to please Allah. It's not difficult. I'm trying to uplift you. Nothing in the world goes, just look at your character and align it. Nothing will go, the chickens will come, rather more chickens will come. Yes, I'll give you an example about the connection with Allah, the link with Allah, the nearness to Allah. Let me tell you this event of Hazrat Sahib's. So he said, she said to her son that don't lie. And he went, he was young and he was tested. And as you're traveling, there was a group of people and bandits, they grabbed him. And they're taking money from everybody. Someone's saying this, someone's saying this. They say, I ain't got no money, I ain't got no money. And they're taking money. Someone's gold is being taken over, or jewels. And a child came in front of them. And you know, some children, they're young and they're innocent. And they know, some people understand from children what is Allah and dhikr. And they get the warning. Because if the iman is aroused, then Allah Ta'ala arouses the imans of people, even through children. So the thieves, they came to the child, Hazrat Abdul Qadir, and they said, oh, he's got nothing, leave him, he's got nothing. Have you got anything? He said, yes, I've got something. Ah, subhanallah. What have you got? They said. He said, I've got some money. They said, where? He said, here, sewn in here, in my clothes. They said, huh? All the bandit thieves are watching. He said, is he lying? Look at him, look closely. They saw that money came out, all the coins and the money. The thieves, the bandit said, huh? Oh, child, you've spoken the truth. And that even if we didn't ask you, even if you didn't tell us, we wouldn't have taken the money from you, you would have escaped from us. He said, no, my mother said to me that Allah is unhappy. Allah is unhappy. Allahu Akbar. And I don't want to displease my Allah. Here, take the money, whatever you want. Never, never. I'm not putting you into depression, am I? I'm telling you the true event. I'm trying to uplift you, encourage you. For the sake of Allah, when insan, when he pleases Allah, then many great results come out, many great results. You said, I'm not going to do this occupation job. Maybe Allah will be unhappy. I'll leave this, leave this. And I'll see that what Allah Ta'ala gives to you in return for that. Subhanallah. Just now, recently, today, in your halakha, amongst you, a person who does dhikr with you, I won't tell you his name. I said to him, tell me, mashallah, you've got istiqamah, steadfast on dhikr. He said, Hazrat, what can I say to you? I said, what is it you're going to tell me? He said, I would like to share with you something. I said, yes, tell me. And he was tears in his eyes, the poor soul. He said that after Asr we spoke, he said, until now, I'm still thinking that subhanAllah, that how Allah Ta'ala treats those who he wants to be pleased with. But shaitan doesn't let us prosper and achieve. Imagine here. We say that we are doing these actions to please Allah. So 5 years, Hazrat, you said to me, come to dhikr, come to dhikr. I used to make excuses to you. Listen to his story, listen to his story. And he's from amongst you, Darvesh. Darvesh. You know this Jamaat that's seated here, wherever they are, wherever they are. This is selected, subhanallah. And whoever has succeeded, mashallah, he has passed the test. I'm not telling you stories. I don't come here with a manufactured bayan or a syllabus. When I sit down, I do maraqabah. Allah Ta'ala says, discuss this today with the people. Subhanallah. This phrase has come from my tongue. It's so valuable. The whole of tasawwuf is in this phrase. I'm telling you today. Remember this phrase. What was the phrase? Yes, so Janab. What was I saying? Yes, the brother, he said to me, Hazrat, that 5 years I was afraid, I was avoiding, not coming. Whenever you said to me, dhikr, I'd make excuses, I cannot come, I can't come, etc. And I had a lot of love for you. And then I was bare with you and I felt like coming. But I used to leave, oh, forget it, today's cold, it's rain, etc. One day occurred that I thought, I need to go to dhikr, I must go to dhikr. That, tell me, how did I adopt istiqamah? The steadfastness. So I left home and he said that I was 20 yards. Those words he told me, I'm repeating word for word, wallah billah. His words I'm repeating to you. He said that I walked a few yards and then shaitan attacked me. And it was in a serious attack. That, look, don't go today. For you it's better that your wife's not at home and maybe you'll lose something. Maybe you'll lose something. He said, I stopped. I said, yes, true. Wife's not home, children are home. And what loss can I have? I start thinking, there could be a loss. So I said, no, today it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, the strength that was dragging me, that I need to go to the dhikr, this was the decision for life, to please Allah. Look at this. This is how the decision is made. He said, Hazrat, it doesn't matter what happens today, but today I promised to Hazrat Sahib that I'm going to go, so I must go to the dhikr. It doesn't matter what the loss is. And this is the conundrum he was in. Loss could occur. He said, but I can't leave dhikr. I want to be steadfast. He said, then I crushed my desires for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. I went towards dhikr, the majlis. He said, I came to the majlis. I did dhikr. After dhikr, I went back. And this is not the story of the old generations, Abdul Qadir Jilani, that was his story. But these people, and mashallah, every generation they are born. Good people are born in every generation. Piety. We'll see it live. He said, Janab, when I went back home, then I saw an ajeeb scenario. I went home around my house. What I realized is that my house was burgled. The thieves had come and they stole. Oh, he was rich. He had business. The poor soul, that time, what business was there? He said that I was standing with my head in my hands. Ah, ha, ha, what will happen? Why? Because I knew that all the money that was in my room, that was open, left open. And how much money? What did he say to me? He said he was a big businessman. And imagine this, that he must have had hundreds of thousands, probably tens of thousands, 100,000 in gold and silver. And it was open. He said, open, spread out. And I couldn't dare that I go into the house. And there was clamor. There's a burglary. Burglaries happened. Theft has occurred. Theft has occurred. So he said, when I went into the home, I was scared. I went into the room. He said, Allah, I shrieked out. Not one item of mine was stolen. Not one. Not one penny had gone, not one pound of mine had gone. And imagine, why? What did they take? What did Allah Ta'ala show them? Were they blinded? Blinded? Could they not see? Allah knows best. He said, after wandering around the house for an hour, they left empty-handed. He said, that day to now, so many years, he said, I never leave dhikr. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. They remember one point, one moment, he made niyyah, Allah, I am going to please you. And did Allah Ta'ala's pleasure not come to him? He came straight away. Nobody could harm him. So my brothers, remember this point. That we cannot be two-faced life. Do you want to please Allah? Say it loudly. Inshallah. Who doesn't want to please Allah? Who doesn't want to please? Do you all want to please Allah? Yes. Then even the sinner, every sinner, does everyone want to please Allah? Then if you want to, then don't commit sin. Straightforward. Whoever wants to please Allah, he doesn't commit the sin. That's the end of story. End of story. Now here, a question arises and I'd like to present this point to you. Then nafs and shaitan, what shall we do about them? Because we commit the sins. Isn't it, Mawlana Sahib? So what shall we do? So then, Allah will never be pleased, because shaitan, he will always attack. Shaitan is high, sometimes nafs is high, more powerful. What shall we do? وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Allah Ta'ala says that Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghribi la ilaha illahu fattakhadhuhu wakila. Subhanallah, the whole cure Allah Ta'ala has given. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Allah Ta'ala says that continue to do the, adopt this cure and practice this cure. Nafs and shaitan, how can they dare that when you are on the path of Allah's rada, then Allah says, I give the cure. Allah says, do my dhikr kathir and kathira. Keep on doing my dhikr, keep on doing my dhikr, keep on traveling, keep on doing my dhikr, and shaitan, inshallah, will not harm you. He will not harm you. The Sufi Hazrat who wants to please Allah, in their pockets is the dhikr of Allah, Allahu Akbar. And he will travel on the path. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Allah Ta'ala says that you must remember me. How? Allah explains. How should you remember me? وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. That my khalis name, pure name, remember it. Thou say Qadir al-Rahman, you have no link with this. That you are on the path of my radha, you know and I know. Say Subhanallah. Allah, Rahman, I'm for everyone, Rahim, Qadir. But for you, mine and your relationship is different. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. So, I am now your personal friend, you are my special friend. Whenever you desire, keep direct dialing me, Allahu Akbar. Dial directly to me, Allah says. That there will be no obstacle between you and me. Direct, you will dial to me. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Allah Ta'ala says, then how should you dial to me? In a certain way, in a certain method, using a certain method. First thing, Allah Ta'ala says that you need to detach yourself from everybody. Detach yourself. Yes. That commonly, in a common way, you need to detach yourself. Yes. So Allah says that become detached. Yes. So where will you leave the majma and go? Where? You go to another place, another room. So you'll be detached. You'll be separate from everybody. Isn't it? Is this common? This is common. But Allah says, what do you do after that? What do you do after that? Allah says that I'm not saying to you here that you leave everything and go and be separate. Allah has given us a very important point here, that you have to detach yourself in such a way that your focus should be on me, Allah Ta'ala says, Allahu Akbar. In other words, every moment Allah Ta'ala says, I should be with you, and your being in solitude or isolation should be not that you are detached from me, rather you're in the whole dunya and I'm with you. Allahu Akbar. So the ulama ikram, that Allah Ta'ala is saying here, not that you detach yourself from me, rather your focus should be on me and your tawajjuh should be on me in such a way that you'll be detached from everything else around you, even though you're living in the world. And this is the dhikr we need, Allah Ta'ala's name, and in such a way that Allah is in our heart, and then we don't need to close eyes, take off the, dim the lights, or go to a specific place. No, that your hand is in your work and in the dunya, but your heart is attached to Allah. Allahu Akbar. This is what Allah is saying. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Allahu Akbar. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Allah says, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Then your eyes will open. So Allah says, whether by night or day, remember my name and devote yourself to me with utter devotion. رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Oh my Lord, so great that He is looking after the whole world. Will He not look after me? So should I lie? Should I commit fraud? Yes, for the dunya. So Allah's rada, His maqam of rada will be so high that direct dial to Allah you will do. رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. You'll recognize that this is my Rabb and He's close to me. So why am I worried about, why should I lie? Why should I feel down and sad? I won't get food, and I lie to get food and bread and wealth. No. Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghrib. La ilaha illa. Subhanallah. Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghribi. La ilaha illa hu. And He is so great that there's nobody you can compare to Allah. Nobody you can compare to Allah. Allahu Akbar. In other words, He is the most power. Nothing in the world can compare. In every way, Allah totally Allah Ta'ala has the power And we don't understand this point. What a great point we're learning here, that when insan, he's stuck in a problem, what does he do? Allah first, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا رَبُّ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَرْغِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. Allahu Akbar, that when a person's in a trouble, he has someone who represents him, like a lawyer or legal, and when he's got someone strong, he's confident. So Allah Ta'ala says, that we say, Allah, you are the Lord of the East and the West. There's no God but you. So take him for your guardian. All of your affairs, your files, directly Allah Ta'ala will look after you and represent you. You present, Allah, I've got no risk, do something. Allah says, okay, I'll do something for you, no problem. Because you're on that maqam, that you remember Allah. Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You will submit your file, you will submit a request, you will submit something, and your Rabb will solve this. Say, hey, take this, this is for you. Subhanallah. Here's the solution. So Radha, Allah's pleasure, that how do we attain it? Look at the maqam, the person Allah gives it to a person, maqam when he pleases Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So a person who's on the destination, the journey of Allah's radha, and he's sinning, Allah says, don't do this. If you want to travel to on the path to my radha, then do my dhikr. And when you do dhikr in the correct way and immersed in my remembrance, then your link with Allah will be made so strong that you'll recognize your Lord, subhanallah. And every action you will ask from Allah, Allah will give to you. Just like I gave you the example, that everything you'll see in front of you, and you'll have no fikr for anything else, because then when you travel with the radha of Allah, you won't commit sins, you won't bow to anyone, submit to anybody. My brothers, we should do dhikr, and for Allah's radha, we should leave the sins. Rather, what should we do? Say loudly, do dhikr at the same time. Because dhikr also, not that you leave your shops and your homes and your wives, no, not this. That's it. Remember Allah and live amongst the makhluk, the creation, the world, society, and remember Allah. Allah's name should be imprinted on your hearts, and the khawf of Allah will come, the fear of Allah will come, and you'll recognize that Allah is with me. I don't need to worry about the dunya. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and all of you as well. Ameen. Let's do dua.
اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل کرم سے میرا مولا جس منزل پہ تم نے ڈالا ہے اللہ ہمیں کامیابی عطا فرما ہم بہت کمزور ہیں میرے مولا سچا ذکر نصیب فرما صداقت نصیب فرما دفاع غدور فرما اخلاص نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل کرم سے ہماری مجالس کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ہمیں سچا اچھا ذاکر بنا دے شاکر بنا دے یا میرے مولا ذاکر و شاکر بنا دے یا کریم اپنے فضل کرم سے ہماری تمام مصیبتوں کو دور فرما پریشانی کو دور فرما ہمارے راستوں کو آسان فرما ہم پہ ہدایت کے راستوں کو کھول دے میرے مولا ہماری مصیبتوں کو دور فرما ہماری تمام آزمائشوں کو دور فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلق محمد وعلی اصحاب اجمعین برحمتک.